seminary. He's now in his 80s. He's a very wise and Jesus-attuned man. His whole life he has lived and breathed God's words. A number of years ago, he told me that he had reached a tipping point. He said that he now knows more people in heaven than he knows on earth. More who have gone before him into death than remain alive. He knows a lot of people. He talked about how the fact that the barrier between this life and the next, that wall that death has, that for him it had now grown so much thinner. This was maybe 10 years ago, so I wonder how he would perceive it now. He said that the great cloud of witnesses that we read about in Hebrews, that Anna read about at the beginning of worship this morning, that is much more personal now, much less an idea or an image, and much more a reality, a thinned barrier. I'm sure, of course, that part of why I'm remembering that conversation with John Wiborg has to do with the death of my mother and her service on Friday. Because now I have yet another person I love who has gone through death into eternal life. Preceded by my brother-in-law, Dwayne, and my father, and my father-in-law, and my mother-in-law, and grandparents, and friends, and relatives, and is getting to be a long list, as I know it is for some of you, including Barb Engels, as of Thursday, here from this church. A lot of people from this church, faces and names and voices that are still very much alive in my mind and in many of yours, whose services we've had here. All these people known and loved and missed, who now through Jesus Christ are in that other spectrum of life, the resurrection life that we call heaven. And it seems that the barrier does grow a bit thinner the older I get and the deeper God's word takes hold in my heart, in my mind. Maybe it's the same for you. Less an image and more of a reality, this communion of saints all around us. I mentioned this a number of years ago, I know, but when my grandfather, my dad's dad, was declining quickly, there was a notable shift in him. He'd always been a very practical man, very down to earth, a Soo Line engineer, a gardener, a hardworking immigrant. A friend of ours just gave me this description of him recently, that he had nimble fingers and a harnessed Swedish joy. A harnessed Swedish joy. And I think a lot of us can identify with that. We are buttoned down. My grandfather was very reserved and practical and often worried about dangers that could come upon anybody he loved, including his family, of course. And so his worries and anxieties, they rose out of deep love for us, but they were there. They were very present. And he wanted to do all he could to steer us away from danger. So he gave warnings all the time. I'm saying this because at the very end of his life, as he was declining quickly, all of that changed. He'd sit on the porch of our cabin up in northern Michigan. And rather than give advice or tell us to be careful about such and such, he just kind of sat and whistled through his teeth, whistling old hymns day by day and with each passing moment. What a friend we have in Jesus. And the one that always made me smile regarding him was, why should I be anxious? I have such a friend who bears in his heart all my woes. My friend is the Savior. On him I depend. His love is eternal, I know. This man who was filled with anxiety was whistling, why should I be anxious? But at that point, he wasn't anxious about anything at all. Nothing. We were busy. We were coming in and out of the cabin, setting out lunch or dinner or letting the screen doors slam. And he just sat and rocked and whistled through his teeth. It's like he already had one foot out. Like he was already partway into heaven and he was already listening in on things that we couldn't quite hear. Now that's just speculation. I don't know for sure, but I think he did. One step out. The barrier between heaven and earth seemed to him to be very, very thin. And soon after that, he died. Gently, peacefully slipping from this life into the next. Going home to his Savior. For him, my mother, my dad, my brother-in-law, Dwayne, my mother-in-law, father-in-law, so many friends, so many people whose services we've had here. Resurrection life through faith in Jesus Christ is a reality that came. And as the phrase goes, it came and they were called home to heaven. Home to Jesus. Slipping out of the beauty and the confines of this life and into the wonder and awe of the next, beyond what we can imagine. Jesus is the common denominator for the saints. He is the one who links this life to the next life. Opens the way from death here to life there. Where death is swallowed up in victory, as we heard earlier from Paul. Jesus is the one. He opens this and he promises this. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. It's all about Jesus. And Jesus simply is. He is not just past tense, as in somebody who once was. And he's not just future tense, as in somebody who one day will come and make all things right. And while those are true, past and future, Jesus is also continually present tense. Jesus simply is. He remains. Always present tense. And that is a tremendous mystery to ponder. Always present tense. It's how the book of Revelation begins. Grace and peace to you from him who was and who is to come. There's a complex argument that Jesus had with some Jewish leaders who very much opposed him. It's in John 8. They questioned his teaching and his authority. They questioned where he'd come from and who he thought he was to tell them about God. They told him that they were the authorities on everything about God and Scripture. But Jesus held his ground and said sharp things back to them, which riled them up even more. They claimed that their lineage traced back to Abraham, the revered father of the Israelite people. They claimed that their credentials were impeccable and unquestionable, unmatchable. Whereas his credentials and his lineage, in his eyes, it was all sketchy at best. So back and forth they went. And toward the end of this argument, Jesus said something that enraged them enough that they began to pick up stones to stone him to death. He said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day come. He saw it and was glad." And they reeled back in shock, saying, "What? You're not even 50 years old and you say that you saw Abraham?" And Jesus said, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. Before Abraham was born, I am. Now that's confusing grammar. That's mixing past and present tense together. Before Abraham was, I am. But his point was and is, it remains, I am. I was, I am, I will be forever. I am. And this remains as true now as it was then. Jesus is. Jesus always was, and always will be, and always is, present tense. things here that we hold and pursue and grab onto. And this life all around us right now, it'll all go. We'll all go. Degrees, careers, accomplishments, money, houses, investments, it all goes. So do we. Along with our grandparents and parents and spouses and children and grandchildren. We're all just here for just a very short time in reality. And we know that this is true, but we don't often act like it's true. We're just here for a little while, and then it's all past tense. She was, he was, they were. But Jesus is. The hymn that I want to highlight today is very much about this, even though Jesus is not named in the text specifically, but he is in this text because he is. It's a hymn written by Isaac Watts from about 300 years ago, and it's often been called one of the greatest hymns of all time. The fifth verse of this hymn sprang up in my mind not long after my dad died, about 9 years ago. The words were packed away somewhere deep in my memory. I couldn't remember what hymn or what poem or what book they came from, but they kept coming to mind, and it was just the fifth verse in this hymn. And oddly, here's how they came to me. I was in my kayak. I was paddling in the river at our cabin, and this hymn came to mind with its rhythm. And it fit with the rhythm of stroke, stroke, stroke. And it just rolled around over and over in my mind. Time, like an ever-flowing stream, bears all of us away. We fly, forgotten as a dream, dies at the opening of the day. I couldn't figure out where that was coming from. But it just kept rolling through my head. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all of us away. We fly, forgotten as a dream, dies at the opening day. It's poetic verse, so you need to sit with it for a bit. And admittedly, all the words of this fifth verse, by themselves, it's not a great comfort. It's focusing on how quickly time goes, that our lives are like a dream that just disappears when we wake up. But the rest of the hymn fills out that promise. And it was later on that I, finally digging through a hymnal, I found this verse. And it's hymn number 422, O God, our help in ages past. It's a paraphrase of Psalm 90, 1 through 5. So as I read these verses, and we're going to sing it at the end of worship. We're not singing it next. We're going to sing it at the end. As I read the verses, listen for the promise that in this fast-flowing river of life that we're part of, where years roll by, years turn into decades so quickly the older we get, and where people we love, young and old alike, where they die and they're gone from us, just like we will die and be gone from those we love. In all of this, the only remaining thing is God. God the Father. God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, who Jesus promised would be sent to us and is with us. God who sent Jesus to open up the fullness of life, the fullness of forgiveness, and life here that opens into life forever. So listen to these words that we'll sing at the end of worship, and maybe you just close your eyes to absorb them. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of your throne, your saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is your arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting you are God. To endless years the same. 1,000 ages in your sight are like an evening gone. Short as the watching ends the night before the rising sun. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all of us away. We fly, forgotten as a dream, dies at the opening day. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be now our guide while life shall last in our eternal home. On All Saints Sunday, as we remember people of faith who've gone before us into death and into eternal life, all through Jesus Christ, it's not only about remembering them and all that comes with death, the joy and sorrow that's mixed together. It's primarily about this. About what we are promised in Jesus Christ, who never leaves us. Jesus, who is, and who said, I am the resurrection and life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All of it centers on Him. The common denominator of the saints, the one who thins and opens that barrier between this life and the next, the one who meets us here and who is with us here, and who prepares a place for us there, and who never leaves us anywhere along the way. And He is the one who invites us to receive forgiveness and new life that leads from this life to the next. And He is the one who invites us to this sacred table today. So hear it again. Grace and peace to you from Him who is and who was and who is to come, Jesus the Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, in all the changeability of this world and all the things that call for our attention, all the things that hook us and consume us and draw our hearts and minds, help us to remember You, to continually turn to You because You are, You simply are, and You open the way to such amazing promises to us. And for anyone here today who does not know You or who is remote from You, by Your grace, would You close that gap and open the way, thin any barriers and make Yourself known? Because to You belongs all the honor and all the glory and all the praise forever. Amen.